From this arises another question, which is, consciousness contains mankind's sorrow. That is, you as a human being is part of the world. You are the world, not an idea, not something that's intellectually has been put together by reason. You say, yes, quite right. But the reality of the truth of it, that you represent as a human being the rest of humanity. Because you suffer, you're anxious, you're uncertain, confused, miserable, fearful, hurt, everything. And every human being has this. So your consciousness is the consciousness of mankind. If that is the truth to you, not an idea, then what takes place? You understand my question? One has lived as an individual, fighting, struggling to express oneself, demanding what follows, as a limited, contained, narrow individual. And it's very, very difficult to see the truth that you are the rest of mankind, that in you is the whole of man. Therefore, his fears, his anxieties, his mischief, his arrogance, his pride, his violence, all that, and his sorrow. Right? And mankind has lived with this sorrow. Lived with sorrow, has accepted sorrow as part of his life, and if he doesn't accept it, he runs away from it to every form of entertainment, religious and otherwise, or he personifies this sorrow into an image, as the Christians have done, and think they've solved this problem. Now, our question is, can this sorrow not only your particular little sorrow, but the sorrow of mankind, you understand? What an enormous perception that is. If you see it, your sorrow is not yours, it's whole of man, of mankind. Then you don't cry. Then you don't shed tears about your little wounds, your little failures, your little anxieties and so on. But when you realize you are the representative of all mankind, it brings about an enormous sense of vitality, energy. It's only when you are thinking about yourself, your sorrow, that vast energy is limited into a small little channel, and it becomes rather dirty. Now, is this possible for sorrow to end? There is an ending in one human being. Please go with me for a while, little. If there is the ending of sorrow in one human being, who is the representative of all humanity, that ending affects the whole consciousness of man. Understand? Stalin has affected the whole of consciousness of man. No? Hitler. All the rest of those world people, national people. Through the priest, the idea of Jesus Christ has affected mankind. Right? You'll accept that more easily. So, when there is a fundamental ending of sorrow in a human being who is the representative of all humanity, then that brings about an action in the totality of mankind. I wonder if I'm making Peter. Have you understood synthesis? Not what I'm saying. You see the truth of this, the fact of this. That is, most of us have some kind of sorrow. Either we are unhealthy, or our children are not what they should be, and so on. Or we can never reach the other side of the river. Or we can never be as intelligent as somebody else. Or there is the love of someone who dies, the sorrow of thousands of people who have been killed during the war. Now, what can a human being, you, do or not do to end this? Take ordinary, everyday incident of death. Someone whom you so-called love dies. Old age, disease, accident, and so on, dies. You have lost him or her. And you shed tears of loneliness, shed tears of sudden loss, irrevocable loss. Nothing can bring him back or her. You are left completely, suddenly isolated. You are so attached, given yourself over to that person so completely. And when that person ends, you suddenly discover how empty you are. There are tears of self-pity, tears of loss, tears of loneliness, right? Which we call sorrow. And can that sorrow end? It doesn't mean that you are callous, that you are indifferent, that you become totally isolated with everything and therefore self-protected. Is it possible to end sorrow? Not the sorrow of somebody whom you lose, but the whole meaning of that word, grief, the depth of it, the enormity, the weight of it. It is possible only when you, as a human being, who are, etc., when you observe without action, without doing something about it. Just be entirely with it. Your wife or your girlfriend has left you. You are jealous, angry, vicious, hating. If you realize that, if you're at all intelligent, aware, then you say, I must get out of this. To remain with it. To remain totally without any movement of with your jealousy, with your anger, with your hate. Just, you understand, completely one with it. Not identify with yourself with it, because you are that. But remain with it, without any movement. I want you to capture something. Then you will see that there comes an extraordinary transformation. The transformation that comes about with the ending of sorrow is passion. Not lust. Passion is entirely something entirely different. If you have no passion, you're non-existent. So you'll find, if you actually, without moving away from that thing called sorrow, totally different movement takes place. And that movement is this extraordinary, endless passion. Right? And that passion is compassion. You understand? The word compassion means passion for all things. Birds, trees, for human beings, for the rock, for the stray animal. When there is compassion for one person, then it is limitless. In its very nature, it includes all things. Don't go to sleep, please, or don't go off into some kind of imaginary, mystical, romantic idea. Passion is not romantic, it's not intellectual, it's not sentimental.